Hello.
Welcome to Tom and Lorenzo's Pop Style Opinion Fest.
We're here to render judgment on the worlds of celebrity, pop culture, television, and fashion.
Strap yourselves in for some hardcore opinionating, darlings.
This is Tom and Lorenzo's Pop Style Opinion Fest.
Tom and Lorenzo.
And this is the Pop Style Opinion Fest. Hello, kittens. Welcome back to another edition of the PSO. I am the T in your T-Lo, Tom Fitzgerald. I'm here with the Low in your T-Lo, Lorenzo Marquez, my lovely husband.
Hello.
And it's a bit of a step down, I have to admit, doing this podcast in our at our dining room table again after last week's insane live podcast in New York. I really hope you guys listened to it. I know the sound quality was a little not fantastic, but it was such a great hour. It was so much fun to do. We had Marty Gold Cummings on with us, and they're such an interesting and forward-thinking drag queen. So it was just a great hour.
Yes.
And it's a lot of fun.
An incredible bookstore. It's a huge, nice place.
And just to announce the podcast and to a cheering crowd, like we're on a talk show or something.
It was very, very sweet. And we thank you guys so much for coming.
It was so stressful setting that up. We had no idea if it was going to work at all.
Right.
Trying to get, because we had our own mics, which were recording. And then there were the mics for Housing Works, which was, you know, so that the crowd could hear us. So we were basically two different setups going on at once. And once Lorenzo flips the switch to start recording, there's no, while we were in front of an audience, there was no way to really stop and check the, our levels or anything. So we were just recorded it and hoped it worked. And we even told the folks at the bookstore, we were like, look, we can't even guarantee there's going to be a podcast when this is over. It could be completely unusable when we're done. So we were so stressed going into it. And then we went back to our hotel room that night and played it back. And we were just relieved.
Right. So it worked in
it
a
did
way.
Work.
It's not the best quality, but it was nice. It was a lot of fun. It's always nice to meet you guys, and it's been great. Unfortunately, we had to stop the
book tour because of coronavirus.
Right,
a lot of our dates are probably not happening. We canceled our DC. This morning we were supposed to be on what is it, Great Day Washington, the morning show in Washington DC, and then we were doing an event in DC that night. And both were canceled because of coronavirus. DC is in a state of emergency.
Well, we decided to cancel the bookstore appearance. Because we felt that it wasn't right.
It was the right call to make. We were actually a little ahead of the curve because right after we announced that we didn't want to do it, a whole bunch of other events just the dominoes started falling.
It's just we just didn't like the idea of continue doing the book tour like nothing's going on, and it would just be irresponsible, we felt. But we had fun days. We did Philadelphia first, then New York, and then D.C. Philadelphia was a lot of fun. It was a free library here in Philadelphia, which we love the building, love the library. With an honor to be invited by them. And we had a guest appearance. We had a surprise. Nancy showed up from Project Runway.
Yes.
And it was just so, it was funny because we're on stage talking and then she was a little
late.
She
walked in and actually there's video of this. We're going to eventually post the video on our site because the whole thing was recorded. But we're I'm in the middle of, I don't know, answering a question or making some sort of point. And I see, you know, we're on stage and there's lights on us and the house lights are down. So you can't see, really see the audience all that well. But I see this massive coat moving down the side aisle and sitting down in the front row, and I'm like, what, that woman looks just like Nancy from Project Runway, and we know she lives in Philly. And then I just stopped and kind of waved at her. We had never met Nancy. We'd never even exchanged words. We don't really talk to the Project Runway contestants.
But you're like, hi.
Like we used to back in the day. We don't really reach out to them anymore. So it was completely unexpected. She heard at the last second that we were going to be there. Actually, one of our kittens ran into her that night. He was on his way to the event, told her about it, and she showed up. It was really lovely of her to show up.
It was the sweetest thing. First of all, she's so sweet, so happy to meet us, and we were happy to meet her. She got in line to have her book signed. She bought three books. One, she bought a book for Dee Dee, her model, which was awesome.
Yes.
So she's like, this is for Diddy. Sign this one for Diddy. She was just the sweetest person. She was very nice. She was wearing the coat that you guys see during the finale.
Yeah.
So it was awesome. It was very nice. And Nancy, we thank you for showing up. It was the sweetest.
We are going to get into the Project Runway finale in a second, of course. But just a note that the book has been incredibly well reviewed. We got the kind of reviews an author would beg for.
Yes,
New York Times, Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, and Associated Press. Raves, just raves across the board.
Right.
If you've, because we've had to sort of put the book tour on hold for a while, that not only kind of puts the kibosh on live events, but also greatly reduces the amount of press coverage we get, because when you go from town to town, you get local press coverage, and that's not going to happen for us now. So we're reaching out to our folks, to our kittens, and saying, you know, could you please support this book in any way? If you have not bought it yet, please consider. It's a very well-reviewed book. We absolutely love it, and you do not have to be a fan of Drag Race to enjoy it. People have told us that they cried while reading the book, certain passages in the book, and that is honestly was our goal. We wanted to write stories that were so moving and stirring that it took the reader by surprise, because they thought they were picking up a book about a reality TV show, and instead they were picking up a book about queer history.
We're getting emails, and our publicist is letting us know that book clubs are using the book, which is great for their readings, which is awesome. Not only, you know, the fact that they're reading our book, but it's the type of book that it's perfect for a discussion among people, and you know, to just talk about the queer community and all the issues.
Yeah. So what we're asking people to do is, if you've read the book, thank you, please review it on Amazon or Goodreads. Those things do help. Please share it with anybody you know on social media or in real life. This is what we have to ask our kittens for now, because the press tour is on hold and we don't know when it's getting picked up again. Also, as Lorenzo said, book clubs are assigning it and reading it together. And you know, because we won't be on tour anymore, we'd like to make ourselves available. So mm-hmm. if you are going to do a book club reading or anything, and you'd like to ask us questions or interview us or have us stop in, we'd be happy to do a Skype mm-hmm. or a FaceTime sort of Q&A.
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely.
With any groups or out there that are doing that sort of thing. So drop us a line and let us know.
But I just want to add that we had a wonderful time. You guys in New York, you guys were wonderful, and Boston was so awesome. Boston, we had a chance to go to Google, the Google headquarters, and it was awesome. We did a presentation for the employees, and then they recorded the whole thing. We should be up, right, on YouTube soon?
I don't know yet. Yeah. I haven't checked.
But anyway, they're working on it, and it should be up on YouTube. We had a wonderful time. Boston was wonderful. So nice to meet you. And it's funny, because we remember every single one of them, believe me, because now I see you guys commenting on Instagram or any place, and I'm like, oh, I remember you. I remember this name, because, you know, when we sign the books, we sign your name. So it's nice. It's a great opportunity to meet you guys, and unfortunately, we can't continue. Hopefully, we can continue later when things get better.
In the meantime, though, if you are stuck in the house or you're social distancing, by all means, download the ebook version or order a version to be delivered to you. Or even better, if you love listening to our cartoon voices, you can listen to the audiobook starting right now. You can go and pay for it and download it right now. And there's 10 hours of us narrating queer history to you in much more well-rehearsed voices than the ones you're listening to right now. Anyway, one bit of business before we move on to Project Runway. This podcast will be getting a new home sometime in April. We will have details about that on our site, tomandlorenzo.com, under our podcast post, when we have the information for you. We're letting you know now to our listeners, because if you subscribe to this podcast, the subscription is more than likely going to end at the end of this month, and we'll have a new feed and new information for you at the beginning of next month. It's all in flux. There's so much in flux in Tilo land at the moment. Anything else? Right now, my coronavirus meatballs are simmering away on the stove, and Lorenzo gets weirded out when I mention coronavirus, but literally everybody else is talking about it. Why wouldn't we?
Well, yeah, he made a wonderful cake yesterday, so we've been eating the cake, and you know, just we're home eating cake.
We're eating now because we're not going on tour. So first thing I did was bake a cake yesterday. We went to Trader Joe's and loaded up. I mean, our house is loaded up, but it wasn't enough for if we have to quarantine, which is a possibility. And I made my Sicilian aunt's meatballs last night, which her trick is you fry them up in a cast iron pan with chopped onions, your meatballs, and then you put the whole mess, you dump the whole pan into a bowl and you put that in the fridge overnight.
Wow.
Yes. And then you get up in the morning and you dump that whole bowl into a pot and you add your canned tomatoes and your tomato paste and your red wine and your spices and your bay leaf and you put it on a low setting and you walk away. And what happens is all the fat in the meatballs was released into the pan. And then you dump the whole thing into the bowl, and it goes in the fridge, and that fat sort of gets sucked up again and cools off. So you have these little sort of fat balls when you bring them out, and then all that fat slowly releases into the sauce over the next few hours.
Oh my God!
And when my Sicilian aunt told me to put them in the fridge overnight before you put them in your sauce, I was like, "Why? What difference does that make?" All the difference in the world. Passing that on to you. Go make your Corona meatballs.
Wow.
Project Runway. I know Lorenzo was dying to talk about it. Lorenzo, go.
Well, it was the finale. They had this whole thing about, you know, two might go home, one might go home, and only two will show, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they all end up showing the four of them, which is nice because I do agree with something that they said, that they are very different. They all have a very unique
Project Runway was always
aesthetic
good at that.
And a point of view. They're all different. They all presented something completely different, which is great. I think it's a great way to handle the finale.
We forgot to mention we were on Andy Cohen's radio show last week.
So in New York, it was crazy. We were traveling like crazy, and then we arrived in New York in the morning, and we went straight to Sirius XM for a bunch of interviews. Great interviews. My God, awesome. All of them.
Michelle Collins was
hilarious. Oh my God, phenomenal lady. Just so, so funny. We had so much fun with her.
But it was really interesting to walk in to Andy Cohen's studio after all this time. Now, we've met Andy Cohen. It was funny, typical Andy. The first thing out of his mouth when he was on the radio with us was, "Have we met before?" But we did. It was like 10 years ago. And we met a few times back in the early Bravo days when we were blogging.
Right. And we had
But it was really great sort of full circle moment to walk in as authors to talk about our book with him. And we mentioned this when we were on the air with him. Bravo put us on the map as bloggers. When we started out, it was Blogspot. We had a decent sized audience from day one, but what gained us our initial audience, from which we have built our entire blogging empire is Bravo. They Bravo.com immediately started featuring us on their site. Mm-hmm. And to their, you know, at the time, Project Runway had a rabid online fan base.
Bravo has always been good to us.
Always.
From day one, supporting us, sending emailing us and asking what we need and so on.
And this is, I mean, in light of years of criticizing the show when it failed to reach our standards, it never bothered them that we did that. I think it bothered Lifetime, honestly.
But anyway, it was a
wonderful thing.
It was a great interview, short but great interview, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun to do all these interviews before we had our you know, book signing later. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. We had so much fun meeting you guys, as I said. Anyway, we always talk about these events. I mean, we always, and we were, you know, looking forward to the other ones, but unfortunately, we can't do them now.
Yes. Anyway, back to PR. I thought it was I don't have much to say. I know you want to talk about the finale, but it was very basic. I was very pleasantly entertained through the whole thing, but there wasn't a lot of drama. They didn't send anyone home. So it was just watching people work until they finally got to show off their work.
It was nice to, I do love, because we were traveling, we and we usually don't do the visits, you know, any podcast about the visits. I always find them interesting because you get to know them a little better, meet their spouses and family members and so on, and their studio. So I always like that. It gives you a better understanding of who they are and, you know, what they work with and, you know, what they like and their aesthetic and so on. So that was fun. And the fact that they, you know, they decided to keep the four of them to show at Fashion Week. And Fashion Week has changed so much. But it's funny because I remember when, you know, Project Runway shows were like huge. And now, as you saw, it was a smaller room.
Much smaller venue, crowd.
It's much smaller crowd. I mean, that's how Fashion Week is now. It's not what it used to be anymore. We talk about that all the time with people who used to attend the show with us. Anyway, so it was nice. They all had a different collection. They got to shop for more fabrics. And it's interesting because they got some criticism, you know, some critique from the judges. And when they presented the three, their favorite looks or whatever they wanted to present for the judges first. And they kind of correct a few things. And, you know, it was nice that they had the chance to do that. I always criticize the fact that, but there's nothing they can do about that. But I've been saying this since day one, that there's no time at all for fitting. I think it showed on screen like, oh, 30 minutes for fitting, which is insane.
Some of the pieces were not helped by that.
Right. I mean, we've attended.
There were good pieces, but right. The fit was terrible on some of these models.
We have attended many Project Runway finale. You know, shows and you can see thread hanging. You can see that they're not completely finished because they just don't have the time, or they're not fitted well because they don't have the time. They get these models, you know, and they have 30 minutes to do anything. It's not enough time. So anyway, we should talk about the collections. Do you want to talk about the winner first, or just go through the collections first?
I'm relieved.
Yes,
because I honestly felt that I was really worried about Jeffrey through the last several hours of this show, because I thought the pressure was going to... I mean, he looked like he was on the verge of a heart attack. And I thought if he doesn't win this, which we had said that we thought it was likely he was going to win it, I thought, oh my God, this guy needs to be put on watch, because he's really stressed out. And... I was just worried about him. Anyway,
I can see that. Anyway, I was happy in terms of collection. I do think they all had interesting pieces, but in terms of collections in general, they all had problems. All the collections had problems, and we'll talk about them. You know, as we go and talk about the collections. But I'm happy he won. I think he had a more interesting. Collection and aesthetic, more editorial, more interesting in terms of like what's out there right now in terms of fashion. Nina Garcia pointed out that his collection, you know, kind of looked like stuff that she already saw on the runway and looked a little bit like the designer Rick Owens, which is true, but. I don't know. It's kind of hard these days to just say, well, this looks like whatever. I mean, at this point, everything looks like everything. You know, you just put your spin in it. Anyway, but I didn't feel like his collection was a ripoff of anything out there. I didn't see that. But anyway.
Do you want to run down the looks?
Yes.
All right. Okay. So the first collection is, I mean, there's 30 looks we have to get through, so this will take a while, knowing how talkative we are. The first collection is Victoria's. And overall, I will say Victoria's collection was a lot stronger than I suspected it was going to be. And for a minute, I thought she was going to win it. Okay, so first look is a leather jacket over these, like, pleated pants. But when I say pleated pants, I mean the leg of each pant is pleated all the way around. And she has those crocheted baseball caps.
Right. Her mother crocheted those baseball hats. And it's an interesting, you know, addition to the whole thing. They look great. I feel like all the looks look great. It's going to get a little repetitive here because they tend to kind of look the same. They all have the same cutout details. And
second one is a beige pantsuit with a cutout at the hip or at the waist. I like them both. I like the first two pieces a lot, the first two looks a lot. I thought they looked cohesive. I think her collection looked like a collection,
right,
number one. I mean, like a runway-ready collection. And I think her collection deceives you into thinking there's more there than there actually is. Because it's so cohesive and because she was able to offer variations on a look, it felt like there were 20 pieces instead of 10. But it does get repetitive. Her color palette is mostly very neutral with splashes of green and pink. And she did that horrible thing where she branded herself.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That was super tacky, and she was told not to do it.
Everyone kept saying, don't do it. You're not that famous yet. You know, you haven't gotten there yet to the point where you have your name, you know, all over your clothes. It wasn't necessary, but she didn't listen. She did not listen.
But I was surprised at how modern and fresh a lot of her collection looked. It wasn't every piece, but overall, I was like, well, she is really ready. She is telling the world with this collection. She's a designer. She's ready. She can put it out there. And like I said, she came very close in my mind to winning it. Now, here's where she lost it for me, which is this lime green leather apron that she's got over. The front of it looks like a dress, but the back of it is a lace pantsuit. Honestly, no idea why she wasn't trashed for that look because it was so hideous.
Right, and it didn't go with anything else before or after that.
And then she follows it up with this Ann Taylor Loft pink coat dress, which is the plainest looking thing you could, and the most retail ready. Like, she does these really wacky pieces, and then she comes out with something that's so basic, I'm almost like, does this really belong on a runway? Catalog piece. But this is what I mean about her collection seeming broader than it actually was. She did manage to push the envelope a little and then offer pieces that said, I'm also, you know, I can do straight tailoring. And
right. I do feel, I'll mention that later.
Go ahead.
I do feel that her collection feels like you just go to a mall and you pick certain things and
you put
them together.
I don't think so. Some of it, but not all of it.
It's a very style. It's more about styling it than designing it. It looks like stuff that you'd put together for, I don't know, for
something. That's fair, but I think she had some interesting pieces, especially early on. Now she's got this pink cutout. I can't tell if it's leather. No, it's not leather. Is it?
I can't tell.
Yeah. It was an interesting design, but it didn't fit the model well at all, but she didn't have time to fit it. And one of her probably showpieces is this beaded sheer hooded jumpsuit with a blazer over it.
I actually like this very much.
Oh, it's very fashion looking.
I know. I don't understand why Elaine criticized it so much. I mean, she did.
I don't know why. It seems like something Elaine would wear.
I know, but she kept saying, you know, it doesn't look well made, blah, blah, blah. I didn't see any of that criticism. But I do like it. I think it's a strong piece, and it looked great on the runway.
And then she's got a white... they're separate. So it's like a white sweater over white pants, pleated and everything. And very nice look. And then she finished it up with her show look, which was this asymmetrical white gown. Sweater gown, actually.
Sweater gown, yeah. Which is beautiful.
It's beautiful. And she almost won it on that alone.
Right.
It really is a beautiful showstopper of a piece. It's unique. It feels like her. She loves that asymmetry. But it also feels very... toned down for the public.
Right. I do have to say, I feel like her collection is a little more sophisticated than what she usually does.
I agree. There were times where she bordered on tacky, but she does have a sophisticated sense of design.
Right.
And I feel like something like a CFDA mentorship would actually do her a lot of good.
I can see her clientele. I can see her doing well. I can see her selling. I don't see a lot of creativity or like a new designer out there bringing something new. But I see someone with a potential to sell a lot, to do well selling her collections. And Brandon Maxwell, he made a very good point that... You know, people kept saying, because I watch the Andy Cohen show after the finale, and it was Nina Garcia and Brandon Maxwell. They were interviewed and talking about the collections and so on. And somebody called in and asked, "Well, you guys kept saying that Victoria had the same look over and over again, and yet she was, you know, in the finale, and you guys didn't criticize her for that, blah blah blah." So Brandon got a little defensive and said, "You know, it's true, but all right, internet, but." You know, this is what designers are about in a way, is that to create a signature look, to create a certain aesthetic and look, and then that's what you do. You're known for that. So I kind of agree with him in a way that, you know, maybe that's her aesthetic, that's her look, that's the way she does things, but it would be nice to see a little more than just cut out detailing, you know, pieces. But she did well. I thought it was good. Like I said, every collection had problems. None of the collections were perfect, in my opinion, but she did well.
I agree. Next up is Nancy, who Nancy told us when we talked to her last week at our signing that she said, wait till you see next week. Wait till you see my collection. You're going to be blown away. And, you know, you think, well, of course she's going to say that. But actually, mm-hmm. Nancy, you were right.
And when you have that kind of conversation. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It was... very well done. It was an excellent collection. It was more forward-looking than I think people would have suspected, given Nancy's age. It was very much her aesthetic. Like, it just felt like Nancy all over the collection, without Nancy being falling into some of the traps that she fell into during the competition. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, when we had our conversation with her, of course you don't talk about, okay, did you win? You know, you don't ask that kind of question. So, and we hadn't seen the episode yet. So we were like, all right, you know, it's a very basic conversation. And we said, wait until you see our collection. I was curious. We'll talk about it in general, but first let's go look by look. I think she was very,
I have to say, I thought I was very uncomfortable with people applauding the differently abled models as they came down the runway. It just felt very condescending. Mm-hmm. And I said to you, I was like, if I was in that crowd, I would be like, what are you all doing? Stop that. Yes, Nancy is to be applauded for her diversity in casting and that sort of thing. But I mean, just literally applauding someone because they're in a wheelchair is just a very weird thing. It just felt very mm-hmm. weird. I'm not there to criticize the crowd. Also, Nancy's son.
Oh, my
front
God.
Front row son
oh
with
my
the
God.
Beard. Flipping
yes.
gorgeous, Nancy.
I
Where
know.
You been hiding that one?
I know. We were like, oh, my God. You know, he's
And we always
handsome.
Joke. I mean, this is going to sound incredibly bitchy because it is bitchy. But we have a term where we call someone Philadelphia hot, meaning they're hot for Philadelphia. But they'd be a 9 in Philadelphia and a 6 in New York.
Oh,
this guy
God.
Is just hot across the board.
I can't believe you went there.
Oh, I did. All the Philadelphians are going to be You know what? The Philadelphians will totally agree with us on this. Nobody trashes Philadelphia God. Like Philadelphians.
We always say that when we go to New York that people dress better there on a daily basis. Like, even going to work. You know, just basic stuff on the street. You can tell that people dress, but it's just the way it is, you know. I guess. I don't know.
Anyway, her son's hot. All right. Going to the first one, the first look is a strapless gown for a wheelchair-bound model, which means the skirt is designed for her legs and everything. And for the chair.
Right.
It covers the chair nicely. It has a sort of bubble skirt effect. She really loved these metallic... Mm-hmm. What are they, silks? I don't even know what they are.
Kind of, yeah, I think they're silk. I thought the fabrics were gorgeous.
Her fabric choices were gorgeous, and she did good things with the fabric. Mm-hmm. I thought this was a good look. I thought it was, you know...
It was a good... And she removed that and turned into a cape, right?
No, that was a... The was skirt? That her? No, yeah. That was a different one.
No, that was her.
No.
What? Oh.
There's no cape there.
Oh, okay.
Next one is a jumpsuit done in that very sort of Nancy
right.
post-apocalyptic. It's like ribbons of material wrapped around
I
her.
I love this look.
Did you really?
Oh, my God. I thought it's busy. It's busy, and you can't really tell what you're looking at because of the fabric and all the work. But I thought it was a hot look. I thought it was.
I yeah, thought what's look. Notable about it, I thought the color story was a little muddy, and some more contrast among the color, the fabrics chosen might have helped the piece a little. But what was great about it was that it's it's chaos taking a form. In other words, the look, everything looks so chaotic, but then it's perfectly fitted to the model. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like a jumble of fabric on her, which tells you just how well designed that piece is. It would make, and I think generally this, I would say this about her whole collection, but that jumpsuit and then the piece that follows it up, which is this pink hooded gown, really shows that Nancy could be or should be, and I hope this doesn't sound condescending, she'd be a killer costume designer.
Mm-hmm.
She understands the drama inherent in fabric and how to use it.
Yes.
And these pieces that she's putting out are so strong and so and slightly unusual that I'm every one of them, like, this would look great in some sort of sci-fi movie or something.
Some very good.
I don't know if she's done costume design, but she would be an excellent costume designer.
I agree. There's a lot of drama. And she kept the hood because
it's the pink liquidy dress with the hood, which looks amazing.
I love this look. I think the fabric does a phenomenal job. You know, it's just beautiful. And the judges wanted her to remove the hood, and I disagree with them. I think the hood makes the look.
I totally think the hood makes the look. I don't even know why they would say that. The only thing, there's her son again. Can we just pause on that? the only thing is that the length is a little, I guess it's fine, but I think I probably would have liked it slightly longer. Then again, like you said, there's fitting issues with these models. Next up is her digital print pantsuit with a bandeau top. Great look, extremely retail, and the way she placed the print, the seaming on this is, look at the back, impeccable.
Wow, you're good today.
She matched the print.
Good,
I've been writing about fashion for 14 freaking years,
great,
bitch.
These are great observations.
I don't know what the hell. Pat me on the head, why don't you? All right.
I love the next one.
Now, I didn't.
I love it.
It's like a belted tunic with is that even a bubble skirt? And there's marabou feathers.
No,
and
it's gorgeous.
I don't like the shape of it.
It's so fashion. It's so,
you think so?
Editorial. It's just perfect. It's perfect. I love it. The way it flows. It's simple, basic. Love it. Then the next one, it's again more of the same type of fabric.
She may have overused this fabric.
Well, that's the thing.
We'll talk
about that.
I don't think this dress works at all. It's like a gunmetal gray.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't fit the model very well. Then we're back to the pink, and the dress itself is very basic, but she did a very interesting shoulder detail, which isn't a bow, but it evokes a bow. It has a slightly 80s-esque quality to it, but it feels modern, and it feels like something we would see today.
I agree. I think that was Nina Garcia's favorite piece. It's a great look.
I could see this on a red carpet now. And then she has another. This is gorgeous. It's a one shoulder with three straps in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Silvery gunmetal gray gown. Absolutely gorgeous.
And the finale, right, piece?
This is the finale piece. I don't know. It's a pink dress in that fabric that she's used a lot. And then there's a faux fur or feather coat, which comes out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I know big coats are...
Oh, my God. I felt the same way. Yeah.
Big coats are Nancy's thing, but she avoided them all through the collection. So pulling one out at this... It just felt incongruous with the rest of it.
I had the same reaction when I saw it.
But the collection is really strong. We're not done yet. Then there's the chainmail.
So that wasn't the finale
The
piece.
Draped chainmail, which is a... I mean, it's just draping and fit. There's not a lot there. She's letting the fabric do all the work. But it is gorgeous.
There's a lot of that fabric doing all the work, but she's also very skilled. So she managed to do some pleating and some details that made the piece.
Yeah,
and she picked great models.
She has a great eye for models.
Yeah, they walked beautifully. So there's the sun again.
I know.
God, Philadelphia.
There's two sons. There was another son, but they keep focusing on the one in the front row with the beard.
Because
he was
cute. Oh my God, I know. Anyway, focus here. So I really liked her collection. I thought the fabrics were amazing. It did remind me a little bit, but that's just me thinking, a very sophisticated Armani Privé type of collection.
It had that Armani Privé loves that that liquidy fabric as well. So I don't think she was taking anything from it.
No, I'm just making a point here that, you know, it reminded me of that kind of sophistication and beauty.
I could see her doing costumes for stage. Uh-huh. If she hasn't done that already, I think that would be an amazing career.
I think she can do really well, you know, with her business. I think she's extremely talented. I can see a future. And she was so emotional, the whole thing about, like, this is my life, this is what I like to do. I still think about her meeting us at the book signing. She was so sweet, you guys. I mean, she was amazing. Very friendly, bubbly, full of life. You can tell that she really loves fashion and she's passionate about it. So I wish her well.
I do too. Thought she was great. Next up is Mr. Delusion. Sergio. Man, I really got to temper this stuff.
Yes.
And I did say to you, I was like, God, if he was on this show back in the day when we were total bitches writing Project Runway, I would have trashed this guy.
I know.
And now it's 2020. I am a two-time author. I'm trying to be, you know, whatever. And in the end, he's not a bad person at all. He's not a villain or anything like that. But my Jesus, the self-regard is so high. When he did look, I'm going to say it right now. I can't stand big, public, stagey marriage proposals.
Ooh.
And it doesn't make me like them anymore when it's two guys or two girls or whatever. But that whole moment was cheesy as hell. You literally did it in front of cameras because you had cameras there. The whole thing was just, ugh, gross. And then, okay, can we just talk? He walks out dressed like he's 85 years old. What is that? Oh, why this guy, who's like at least 15 years younger than I am, why does he dress like my dad? And why does he talk about his clothes? He literally talks about saving the world with his clothes. Like,
I know,
what?
I know.
Dude.
I know.
Slow down. You're just making dresses. No one's heard of you yet, okay?
It's kind of interesting and sad at the same time. He does explain that, you know, he went through a lot.
I know there's insecurity under all of that. I say he's not a villain.
No, that he's had a hard time dealing with a lot, insecurities and you know, criticism and all that type of stuff. So he feels guarded, and I get all that. But it's hard at the same time to just listen to all that delusion. It's hard to take it seriously.
It's just not really so. I mean, there is nothing wrong with having fashion with a conscience or fashion with a message, but he is so in love with the idea of having a conscience and the idea of having a message that he forgets about the fashion.
It's
and the message. I'm sorry. Yes, the glaciers are melting. We all know this.
Right.
We all know this. Making dresses is not going to do anything. I hate to sound cynical, I hate to sound dismissive, but come on.
I know, it's always attached in this social or political message.
It's the most banal sort of, the glaciers are melting.
That doesn't add anything to the collection.
No, or the conversation.
You're just trying to make it more important, more, you know.
It feels tacked on.
Yeah.
And honestly, looking at his collection, nobody would have understood that was a collection talking about melting glaciers without him standing there and telling you that that's what it's about.
Right, right, right.
Just because you used blues and whites does not mean you're making some sort of, oh, whatever. I'm getting very...
One thing I have
and
to say...
I don't
say,
want to. He's not a bad person.
One
he's
thing I like about person. Him, I want to point something positive about him, is that...
We won't have to listen to him anymore after today.
Oh my God, Tom!
I'm terrible.
Oh my God, we're gonna get so many emails. Anyway, the fact that he has no problem complimenting people,
And people, I agree.
That is nice about him.
That's why I say he's not a villain. Like last night, he was saying how strong his competitors were. It's he was walking in there going, "I'm," because he did. He used to talk this way about how he was clearly head and shoulders above everybody else.
But he has
I don't think he's an asshole.
Right.
I just think his self-regard is so high that it's very hard to see a person underneath all that.
Right.
This is what, and that he totally did not get this. Totally did not get this. This is what Brandon meant when he said, you need to sort of fuck things up a little. You need to, because everything is so guarded and measured and so self-important with him that there's an, it's very hard to feel that you're getting a real person, a real expression of their creativity. He's just all caught up in the idea of himself rather than the reality of himself, I guess.
And he's just, and he doesn't want to try. Like the stylist, I forget her name. Is that Kate Walsh? I think she's a very famous stylist, and she was helping all of them. And she said, "Well, you should do a T-shirt with that look. You know, keep it a little more young and fresh." And
right.
And he was horrified with the idea. Like,
right.
Well, this is not the planet you know I live in, or whatever. And he was just like completely, you know, didn't want to listen to her at all. And you know, it's a great idea because you can kind of mix and, you know, and match here something young with something more traditional like he likes to design.
Okay, we should get to his collection. We've trashed him more than enough.
Yeah, that's true.
So the first look is this white sheer Dracula's daughter gown, which looks straight out of 1972. I don't like any single part of it. Go.
Oh, God, Tom.
I hate it.
It's so dated. The everything is dated. The sleeves are dated. The ruffles. Everything is dated about it. It's just you can barely see the design. It's just not a great look. And then it's he's you know slowly integrate like a little more a bit of color and
the next look is that a dress or it is a one piece dress. I actually think there's something to be said for this design, but I hate the fringe. The fringe is just awful. But you take that away, and there's the design of that skirt is actually kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I think the sleeves are wildly over-designed here.
He
tries to put too many elements in one look.
That's what I was going to say.
Everything needed editing. So with this, I would have said get rid of the fringe and give her standard sleeves because that skirt design is interesting enough to stand
on
its own.
I agree. You'd have to pick the top or the skirt, but not both together. And the fringe, I mean, Christian Siriano told him about the fringe. Everybody told him about the fringe. The fringe is hideous.
It's hideous.
Absolutely hideous.
Next up is a how do I describe this?
It is
a pantsuit, right?
Yeah.
Those
yes.
are pants. It's white, like palazzo pants, gigantic pants, and then there's a sort of jacket, this off-the-shoulder jacket that goes over it. Kind of interesting.
I actually like this look without the fringe. If he had
the fringe.
You know, kills it.
I also don't think that's a great blue. It's a very dingy looking blue for the runway. And when you pair a sort of dingy blue with white, which is what he did, it looks very baby shower.
Yes, yes.
It does.
Yes.
It just looks...
Well, he wanted to go from white all the way to like very dark
blue,
and it just didn't work.
That blue is not a fashion-y blue to me. Next out is horrifying. He did a basic tight bodycon blue gown in that same fabric. That's fine. But then he added all of this horrible white fringe on the skirt. And it just looks terrible.
Right.
Next up is his basically showstopper piece. I didn't love it. It was all fringe. And does he have mirrors on it or something?
I think it's embroidery.
They're like paillettes or something?
Yeah, he apparently did that by hand. I do like this look, but it's kind of like an isolated, like, you know, it's just one piece.
It's more like an art piece, like a student show art piece than real fashion.
But I like it.
I didn't like it. I thought that it was like so much of his work, there's too much there. He is a very good... I mean, his technical work is extremely good.
And he tends to go with a very 50s every now and then silhouette.
That's
like
sort of
the strapless,
Dior
you know,
classic,
yeah,
new
right,
look.
Right, full skirt look.
Next up is a strapless gown in that same dingy-ass blue with a high-low skirt, and it's got the zigzag. So it basically looks like Wilma Flintstone from the front because it's got that zigzag
right,
hem.
Right.
Hate it. Just hate it. I'm sorry. It was very obvious from the start that he was not in the top three.
No, you could tell by
the crowd was dead quiet.
Everyone's reaction, they were just like, okay, you know. And then the last look is like this Pamela Rowland, you know, kind of Jenny
Gray with silver embellishments. Dress. But then he ruins it again with white fringe. I'm sorry.
Right now, that's true. That's it. Yeah, it's absolutely... it's something you've seen so many times. The last dress is just... Not the last dress, but that dress is very basic. Absolutely.
Then Brandon called this out for being more modern than the rest of it. And it's true. It's a white skirt with a blue tulle skirt over it. And then a blue sheer sweater on top. Paired with a pair of slouchy brown leather boots. Which I'm describing it and it sounds horrifying. But it was actually kind of interesting. What did you think of this look? It felt modern.
It did in a way, but it didn't. I honestly, I didn't like anything about this collection. I just kept waiting for that to end.
Yeah.
Didn't like anything. I mean, in general.
There's a gray sheer gown. It's just a sheer gown with cape. It's very standard. There's nothing to it.
It's anything you'd see in an Elie Saab or Zuhai Murad collection. It's just basic embroidery, sheer type of gown.
And that, here's his showpiece. And, oh my God, this is hideous. This blue thing at the end.
Right.
With just the sleeves layers of tulle all over it. It's horrifying.
Yes. It's all over the place.
I don't think his instincts are very good as a designer.
It looked very... amateurish to me. It didn't look professional or sophisticated at all. I really dislike this collection.
I really dislike this collection myself. And then finally here comes Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, my Jesus, I thought this guy was gonna die halfway through this episode. Right. He was so tense. And I thought, if he doesn't win it, I think he needs to be put on watch. Like, it was pouring all of his self-esteem into this collection.
Yeah.
And I was very worried, especially since I don't think the collection was as good as I was hoping it would be. And I'm glad the judges made that decision. It's the decision I was hoping for. But honestly, I could have been talked into... Nancy, and I even could have been talked into Victoria.
Not Victoria.
I think it could have gone. You don't like her, and I understand that. But
Nancy, yes.
There were good pieces in her. She had just as many good pieces as bad. I mean, the good-bad ratio in her collection was about the same as Jeffrey's. Mm-hmm. Let's get to him. Jeffrey's got great ideas, but his follow-through, like the detailing, isn't always there. So... this opening look, this sort of orchid purple, oversized. The jacket is amazing. The dress is kind of a mess. And this is what keeps happening his collection. One amazing look covering up something that's just a pile of elements. Go ahead.
I love the jacket. You're right. I just think that the pieces under each jacket... they just look like hoses, water hoses, you know, like just
things hanging off her.
Hanging off of them. It just looks weird. And there are too many of them. If they had only just a few, you know.
This is what I mean about like Nancy knows when to pull. Like looks like a jumble of fabric. And then you step back and you're like, yeah, but it's fitted to her perfectly. She makes it not look a mess.
And they're not just straps. They look like.
Sleeves.
They going actually all the
look.
Way down.
I think they're meant to look like sleeves.
So it looks even. It looks like a little sci-fi in a way, in a bad way.
The
so,
thing is, Jeffrey is clearly an outerwear designer. He should be designing coats and jackets.
That's
because
a good point.
Almost every piece had outerwear in it, and the outerwear was the signature piece. Second look is this black. I don't even know what the fabric is. It looks like horsehair, but I don't think it is. With a split sleeve at the elbow. He has this really interesting technique he does with elbows. And then it's over this black pile of rags kind of thing. Right. But the coat is gorgeous, right?
I do love the outerwear part of every look. Yes. They're beautiful. And
that is where it all is for him. Okay, next is this sort of...
trench coat, right?
Trench coat dress.
Right. It's beautiful.
Really?
I do like it.
I think it's a little overdone. But that could be the model.
Right.
I didn't love the way she was styled. I don't like the puffy sleeve on it. Mm-hmm. It looks a little dominatrix, which is fine because that sort of BDSM thing underlies all his work.
Right.
My favorite piece.
Love the next piece.
Next piece is the guy in the yellow puffer jacket. And yes.
That's gorgeous.
First off, he changed models, and putting it on this guy was a great idea.
I forgot he changed mine.
Yeah, he had slimmer look, and putting it on a muscle dude is a better idea.
Muscle dude. It's a gorgeous look.
It is extremely Rick Owens. Strong, it was the first thing I thought, and Nina pointed it out. But I do like it. The colors are unusual, the sort of pale yellow and goldenrod. And even the pants, which have all of those trailing flaps that all the rest of his work has, it seems to work for the proportions all work.
It works a little better because it's not head to toe that thing. It has a tank top underneath.
And it has a sporty feel to it.
Yeah, so it looks better because it's not overwhelming like the other pieces.
It looks fresh. All right, next is he's got a brocade pants and a sheer top. Brandon liked this.
That's his that was his favorite piece, he said.
I thought the pants were great. Yeah. It actually looks a little like Brandon. I thought the pants were great, but the top is terrible.
It doesn't feel
like it belongs with the rest of his collection.
I was just about to say that. I was like, what? What is this?
Here? Where is this coming from?
Yeah, I agree. That was my feeling.
Next up is another menswear look, and it's this like lab coat style, and I love it, actually.
It's very sci-fi.
Mm-hmm. It's got like a Jill Sanders sort of thing going on, right?
Yes, yes.
You're so surprised when I make these references. So surprised. I mean, I'm very open that Lorenzo is the fashion expert in the family, but buddy.
Jill Sanders, look at him. He can form a sentence, a fashion sentence. Mm-hmm.
It's like my parents every year. I mean, I love them and I miss them, but I was well into my 40s when I realized every year for my birthday, they were giving me cards that were basically the kind of thing you give a recent college graduate. It's like, we're so proud of the man you turned out to be. And I'm like, well, yeah, that was 25 years ago.
Oh my God. Yes. Oh my God. That's so funny.
Pat me on the head at like 45.
Anyway,
so I love this look. It's sporty. It's sci-fi. It's futuristic. It's got this sort of lab coat thing going on. And I love it.
No, I do love it. It's one of my favorite pieces.
Okay, so coming up are the two dresses with the element that I really don't like, with that open bust line where it looks like the cups are grabbing her boobs or whatever. I don't like it.
It's very...
it's very sci-fi.
I struggle with that dress because I do love the dress, but it's just
okay,
not,
let's talk about the first one. It's that black shimmery fabric and it's got these sort of diamond-shaped sleeves. This one, I have to admit, except for the neckline, the rest of it actually works.
Yes.
It's a gorgeous dress. It's a striking dress.
It's a beautiful dress. I love all the curves and detailing. It just needed a better fit, I think.
Right.
That's why I don't think it works entirely. Same thing with the second one.
I do like the second one. It's banded in a lighter green fabric,
right.
And that's the part that makes it look really costumey to
but
me.
But it's
very Star Trek.
I don't think it's fitted well. I mean, it's a little too loose on her.
Yeah.
But I do love it.
I don't think it's that element.
I like it.
I don't think you can make that work. And then he's got this, it's pretty nondescript. It's a pleated skirt with a shimmery top. It's all very draped and large. His clothes tend to take up space, which is good, but I'm not super crazy about that look. And then
finally,
the final piece is that shimmering black puffy coat.
This gigantic cocoon.
It's just an amazing piece. The proportions are exactly right to make it an actual workable garment, even though it's completely impractical.
Again, he picked the right model.
I think
he'd be a great menswear designer.
Because I think that is his passion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Menswear and outerwear, I think, are where he should be. I'm not super crazy about his women's wear, but he is a good designer, and this was an exciting collection. There were parts of it that reminded me of Jay McCarroll's collection, not because of the aesthetics, but because it felt like someone doing something fresh.
Oh my God, we're so married. I had the same
thing. It reminded me a little bit of Jay's. Where it was like, oh, a fresh take, you know?
Right.
On the puffy jacket and that sort of thing. So,
and I think that's why they picked him, because it is a different take.
It's fresh.
It's fresh. And you can see the potential. It's not a perfect collection, but there's never a perfect collection. Because they don't have the time, you know, they don't have the resources and they don't have time to fit the models and all that stuff. But given all that, I think he presented something that has potential. It's current, it's fresh, it's trending. It's great. So I was happy for him. I was actually shocked. I thought Victoria was going to win.
I thought it was very close to Victoria winning. And then for a split second, I was like, you know, they could really shock me and go with Nancy because they've never had a winner. The mature contestant never wins. But I'm happy they gave it to Jeffrey, and I have no arguments with that.
Yeah.
And anyway, that concludes our 18th season of Project Runway? My goodness.
As you all know already, they're going to shoot a new one. So
yes,
we are
and
going
we'll be
to
back
have,
for that yes. one as well, of course. So once again, kittens, thank you for listening to our cartoon voices. Please, please consider supporting us by buying our book.
Yes.
Now that we have no book tour, we're resorting to begging. No, things are great. The reviews on the book are great. And the sales on the book have made our publisher happy. But we want to keep this momentum going. So please consider supporting us.
And you know, we might continue traveling later.
Oh, when all of this madness dies down, I think we will be back out there to meet you all face to face once again. So please be patient.
Yes.
Until that day, love you all, mean it. Bye-bye.
Bye.